This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, an exciting day for some people across Israel as there were sirens at around 5 o'clock this morning with a missile being launched from Yemen, another ballistic missile. Some people were in their bomb shelters. There were reports of another missile also being reported being fired about 2 hours ago, more or less. There were no sirens sounded on that occasion, but we understand that both of these incoming missiles were safely intercepted by the IDF anti-missile system. No reports of shrapnel falling as yet, or people being injured, or any damage being caused. So we hope that everybody was in their bomb shelters where they needed to be, and that everybody managed to get through that safely, but it all seems relatively benign. Also, a report this morning of sirens around the Gaza envelope area. Those turned out to be a false alarm. And I have to say that when I hear that there have been sirens around the area of Gaza, it makes me feel a little nervous, because my working assumption right now is that the IDF have managed to control enough of Gaza to really obviate the possibility that missiles can still be launched from Gaza. Hopefully they've managed to destroy most of the piles of missiles, the stocks of missiles that were kept in Gaza. But we do know that there are still renegade groups running around, and there are probably still supplies of missiles somewhere, and potentially missile launches. There was an attempt, I think, last week or the week before to launch some missiles from Gaza. Two of the missiles, I think, landed actually within the area of Gaza, didn't even go over the border. And I think a third one was intercepted successfully by the anti-missile system. So I'm hoping that we are sort of getting to the point where the Gazans are no longer really able to attack us. But certainly the Houthis are determined, and they continue to fire missiles at us. And it doesn't seem like that's going to go away anytime soon. It's interesting. It would be interesting to know what the IDF senior brass are thinking about whether there is a moment when we need to really get a little bit more serious about Yemen. I don't know.
I just keep wondering what the Houthis themselves are thinking. What does success look like for the Houthis? You know, they're not going to take over Israel. They're not going to achieve anything other than, I don't know, maybe God forbid one missile gets through and does damage. You know, like, is that the success that they're looking for?
Well, I think that you were involved somewhat in one of the big successes for the Houthis on the day that missile fell near to Ben Gurion Airport, because I think for them, success is getting through this protective layer that Israel has put in place with the help of some of its allies, and even some unlikely allies in the region, where we've seen, for example, the Jordanians and the Saudis and others, the Emirates getting involved in helping Israel to intercept missiles and to make things difficult for the Houthis. So I think if they're able to actually get through that protective cordon as they did on that day near to Ben Gurion Airport, then I think that for them is a success. And I think for them, it's also a numbers game. They reckon that, you know, they might be able to get one missile through for every 100 or 200 or 500 that they fire. So therefore, they've got to get through the numbers in order to somehow find that moment when the one will get through and they'll be able to bring that down as a success. But, you know, the success for them is relatively limited. And I'm guessing that at some point they're going to run out of missiles. And then it's going to be interesting to see where the Iranians sit on all of this, because of course we've got the whole Iranian story. We can't divorce what the Houthis are doing from the talks that are going on with Iran right now. And President Trump seems sometimes optimistic and sometimes not quite so optimistic about where this is all going. But the Iranians are taking a very hard line, at least publicly, and saying that they will not be willing to agree to anything that involves them not being allowed to enrich uranium at all. That's their hardline position. And the Americans are not coming out saying that's impossible, that's not going to work. I guess the Israeli government does fear, and the Israelis in general fear, that there will be an agreement between the US and the Iranians to allow some level of nuclear enrichment, which will also then leave the Iranians free to potentially continue to support the Houthis. There was a report that came out yesterday that said that the White House meeting that took place between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu a few weeks or a few months ago, where Howard, you commented about the body language, that Netanyahu clearly wasn't comfortable with what Trump was saying. So apparently, the latest reports suggest that there was quite a to-do between the Prime Minister and the President. There was a lot of disagreement. It wasn't just all friendly stuff. Apparently, there were quite some harsh words exchanged between the two leaders, and there was a lot of disagreement, which kind of makes us worry, because if there was disagreement, it means that Trump is intending to do something that might not be too much supportive of what our position is. But I guess we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
And science says perhaps the whole idea of success for the Houthis is testing technology, trying to get missiles through testing technologies for Iran, radar evading, stealth technology, etc.
Very, very possibly. One can't rule that out. I think it's a very logical conclusion to reach. I have to say that the very first time the Houthis fired a ballistic missile, and it actually made its way towards Israel, and it seemed to be heading in generally the right direction, I was flabbergasted. I was absolutely shocked that a renegade group like the Houthis had that level of technology available to them. Now, of course, we take it for granted because we've seen what happens. But I remember the first time it was like, who are these guys and what are they doing with these missile systems? Seriously.
Well, I still feel that. I still feel that I haven't no idea what they are on about. Rumors are rife, Anthony, that a hostage release and ceasefire deal may be imminent. Can we believe these rumors?
I don't know, because President Trump yesterday said there might be a deal within a day or two. That was kind of the words that, but he likes to say these things, right? I mean, we all remember him saying before he went on his trip to the Middle East that there are going to be a huge announcement, bigger than anything in the mo in the recent years. And what was the announcement? Does anybody remember of such an announcement having been made? He has a tendency to kind of set expectations very, very high and
Preemptive.
not necessarily deliver against those expectations. So yesterday, he said within a day or two there might be an agreement, it might be a deal. We'll see. I hope so. And then the Prime Minister yesterday released a video which absolutely echoed those words. Within a day or two, those were the words that he used. There might be a hostage deal within a day or two. Behind the scenes, lots and lots of movements backwards and forwards. The possibility of 10 hostages being released in exchange for 70 days of ceasefire. Hamas coming out saying unless there's a permanent ceasefire, there will be no deal. Steve Witkoff saying a deal has been put on the table. Hamas have to accept it. Israel's accepted. Lots and lots of contradictory statements. But I think the most telling out of all of this was then Prime Minister Netanyahu trying to walk back his day or two comment by saying, well, it was kind of a manner of speaking. It wasn't really meant like today or tomorrow or the next day, like in a day or two. It meant like in a day or two, sometime, in the near
Gosh.
future. It's a little bit like Macron saying, well, we were just having a little bit of fun before the door opened of the aeroplane.
Yes.
You know, it sounded a little bit like that. Prime Minister trying to walk back his day or two comment, which really kind of echoed what Trump said. It was just almost like almost word for word, echoing the words that Trump said. And I just wonder whether Prime Minister Netanyahu is getting a little frustrated that Trump is preempting some of these things and making public statements when he really should be keeping his mouth shut. In my view, it's horrendous for the hostage families to be having to put up with all of the speculation and to be having to put up with the what I would call irresponsible comments made by world leaders, Trump and Netanyahu included, saying in a day or two. Well, when people say in a day or two, it means like before Shavuot, you know, in a day or two, like soon. And now he's kind of walking that back. So I feel that we've sort of been a little misled. I'm not quite sure if that's an attempt to somehow try to placate the international community to believe that there are real attempts going on. I mean, I think there are real attempts going on, but maybe just to try to placate the international community thinking that something is really imminent. I don't know. I would be highly skeptical in view of some of the attempts to kind of walk back the comments that were made. I would be highly skeptical if between now and the end of the week we'll see something. But I would love to be proven wrong. And of course, Israel would be willing to enter into a temporary ceasefire arrangement, and not a permanent ceasefire arrangement, because when they say releasing 10 hostages, well, we've still got 57 others who are there, some of whom are dead, some of whom are alive, but who all need to come home. So, you know, 10 hostages is a great start, and we will welcome that, but it's not the end.
No, not by any means. The new humanitarian aid distribution system in Gaza has begun operations. Has this made a difference?
So this has really also been so controversial. The first, this is a supposedly a private body that comes under the auspices of the U.S. administration some way or another, and is an attempt to somehow control the distribution of humanitarian aid in Gaza. Israel supports this. I think it's a great idea. I think it's essential because it's another way of somehow cutting out Hamas's control over Gaza, because the way they exercise their control comes in a few different ways. And right now, the most significant control that they are exercising over the population in Gaza is the distribution of food and humanitarian aid. We should not kid ourselves for a moment to believe that there are not substantial stocks of food and supplies in Gaza, substantial stocks. Hamas are holding most of them in an attempt to try to create an economy out of it. When you hear things like 50 shekels being asked for a bag of flour, and things like that, then you understand that Hamas are really raping the population economically because they have control over the food. And we've seen these humanitarian trucks being immediately taken by Hamas. And in fact, there was a report yesterday that Hamas executed four people. They were shot by Hamas. Why? Because they attempted to steal food from the humanitarian convoy, and they were executed by Hamas. Now, that story we won't hear much about in the international press, but it just shows the extent to which Hamas is prepared to go in order to keep control over the distribution of food. So I think that setting up of this organization, which is called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, is a really important step and somehow manages to reduce the control that Hamas has over this important supply of food. And it would come as no surprise to any of us to hear that Hamas have been doing everything that they can to prevent this organization from setting up. We understand that they've already set up four distribution points across the Gaza Strip. And what they're doing is they're asking a representative from each family in need to come, and they're given a quite substantial size box of humanitarian aid that's been pre-prepared to allow that family to exist for a certain period of time. And people are coming on foot, and they're coming with donkey carts, and they're coming with bicycles and whatever they can in order to pick up this food. And of course, Hamas are doing everything that they possibly can to prevent this from being successful. And interestingly, the CEO of Gaza Humanitarian Foundation decided to resign the day before the distribution was due to take place. So at the beginning of the week, he announced that he's resigning because why? Because Israel is not cooperating and Israel is not allowing the relevant freedoms that are required in order for this organization to be successful. So they just kind of continued without them. They've appointed a replacement CEO, a temporary person to pick up responsibility for running the show. And we understand that the food has already begun to be distributed. And the more that this happens and the more organized the supply of humanitarian aid is in Gaza, the better it will be for everybody, because in Israel we'll feel much better about allowing these trucks in that will not be commandeered by Hamas to allow Hamas to continue to retain their control over the strip. This is a very good way of, on the one hand, feeding the hungry, and on the other hand, reducing Hamas's control.
The IDF has also outlined the next stage of its military operation in Gaza. What do we understand about this?
Well, it's interesting the way that the IDF have presented what their plan is to do, because as we understand things right now, the IDF control something like 50% of Gaza. They have actual control over 50% of Gaza, which means that that's an area that is clean of terror activities, and I also hope is clean of hostages being held in the tunnels below. I'm not sure that that's the case, but certainly above ground, those areas are considered to be kind of cleaned out areas that the terror activities can't take place. And the idea is, according to what the Chief of General Staff has said, that the IDF will continue to take control over more and more parts of Gaza so that they can also be cleaned out, so that we can start to establish a much, much more controlled area where significant swathes of the territory can no longer be used for launching attacks against IDF troops or against civilians, potentially launching rockets against Israel. And ultimately, according to what the IDF Chief of General Staff tells us, that the IDF are doing everything that they can to create a military reality that will enable a deal to release the hostages. So he believes that the military work that's going on sets the tone and sets the background to allow a hostage deal to take place, to force Hamas to want to have to come to the table and to release our hostages in return for whatever they'll get. But that's currently the military strategy.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. That is where we leave it. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.